CliffCentral.com. Good morning to you. What's happening? You know that you can call us at any time if there's some story in the news, or there's something going on in your life, or there's something you need to share, there's maybe a bit of information you have for the rest of us. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. Now, we've got so many things going on in South Africa at the moment and in world news that sometimes we don't focus on any given story for long enough. That's certainly how I feel a lot of the time. There was this hideous situation last week, and we've spoken about it a few times on the show with this, this young man who raped a seven-year-old at the Dross in Silver Lakes in Pretoria. I mean, an unbelievably ugly, nasty, nasty story that has got everybody completely upset, in disbelief, frankly, around what it is possible for a human being to do. And clearly this is the kind of story that would get people very energized, get them feeling very activist. One of the people who's certainly an activist in this respect and has become of late, Rosie Mordene, who's also a member of our CliffCentral.com family. Hey, Rosie, I believe you were outside the court yesterday. Rosie?
Hi, Gareth. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. First of all, thanks for talking to us this morning. I believe you were outside the court yesterday. What a horrible story.
It's revolting. Yeah. Revolting.
So what did you... Who were you there with? What did you observe? Apparently the guy didn't even plead. It's been postponed to the 1st of November. What went on?
Okay, well, I was there supporting the total shutdown. And what, first of all, outside the court was quite amazing, because there were a number of Black Bikers Association who came in solidarity. So that was quite impactful. Obviously, there were the political parties. You had your EFF doing their thing. The DA sitting on the side, ANC also were there. And then, as I said, I was with the total shutdown. He went in, he didn't plea, he didn't, his lawyer didn't ask for bail, which I think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then it was postponed to the 1st of November, which ironically is the same day as the gender summit. So I don't know if that was intentional, but that was one thing. And then another strange factor that happened was that only 20 people per political party were allowed in, and I think there were just a handful of public people that were allowed in. So we found that a bit strange, that the public did not have access to the actual courthouse.
I'm sure the judge doesn't know or care about the gender summit, so I'm sure that's not anything coincidental is anything more than coincidental is kind of ridiculous. This is such an ugly story. It clearly has galvanized a lot of people. I always get a bit nervous when I see political parties at these things, because I always feel that it's about them, not about the victim, and that it very seldom has anything to do with justice. It usually has to do with attention seeking from political parties.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be straight out forward. You know, the ANC was there to capitalize. We all had our own specific areas where we were either marching, singing. Sometimes we joined forces. EFF kept themselves. Oh, there was also Not In My Name as well. Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of it, the ANC van comes and drives into the middle of the crowd, and they've got this terrible loudspeaker, and then they're selling merchandise. So in terms of them capitalizing, absolutely.
I mean, that sort of cheapens the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the fact that you don't see ANC Women's League outside other courthouses or assisting other survivors. If anything, you see them supporting a lot of their friends or whatever who are within cabinet who are doing the same thing. Mm. So yeah, so that just puts a bitter taste to your mouth. And that's why many of us decided to either stand in solidarity with Not In My Name, the hashtag Not In My Name group, or the total shutdown.
Just remind me what Not In My Name and the total shutdown were all about, because I've kind of forgotten. There are a lot of hashtags around now.
Yeah, okay, well, the total shutdown were a group of activists from across the country who, on the 1st of August, created that march to Pretoria, and then created in different areas around the country. So in Cape Town, you had one. You had one in Limpopo. There was even in Lesotho. There was even in Botswana, and basically calling on for specific demands to be brought to government, demanding justice in terms of rights against abuse, against gender based violence, and all of those type of things. In terms of the
go on.
In terms of the not in my name, I will be talking out of order because I don't really follow what they do. But I know that they were fairly instrumental in the Chichester case with Arthur Mafokate, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And it's a group of citizens who are also just standing up against abuse against women and children.
You know, I love that there are people like you who are passionate about this. I mean, such a hideous crime. Obviously, loads of people are appalled at the just the cruelty and the ugliness and the youth of this child and everything else. I don't think there are any people in society who are pro this. You know, so when you're in opposition to something which is clearly so detestable, I think the whole country's behind you, whether they're there or not. What I'm a little bit curious about is, why do you think this case in particular is getting the attention it is, when there are how many women raped today in South Africa?
Yeah.
You know, upwards of 50 women a day, I think, are raped in this country.
Yeah.
This, obviously...
You know, you 100%, and you know, as you know, I've been in the activism space for over, like, 15 years. And one of the reasons why I stopped working for Childline was I couldn't handle these type of cases. And, you know, I can't answer why people are, why there's more uprising regarding to this case. Maybe perhaps because he was caught. You know, and I see a lot of other cases coming up because of social media, because of people recording certain things. You know, there's the whole thing, yes, what it's doing, people are doing it because it was a white guy against a black guy. No, you can't pull the race card on this one. In my opinion, I think it was just because it was called out and there was a certain amount of substantial evidence.
Right.
That there's an outcry. And what's worrying now, and I don't know if these comments are legit or not, or if it's fake news, but I saw a report about a whole lot of other people in his area, of the perpetrator's area, saying, well, this is what he's been known for, that he used to babysit children. The one family even caught him taking pictures of a naked child. So if that is the case, then why wasn't reported earlier? Or why wasn't it alerted? I mean, his grandmother runs the kindergarten, and he works at the kindergarten. So, and as I said, I don't know if this is fake news. I really am hoping it is fake news. But if that is the case, then, you know, it also just goes to show society. A lot of people prefer to turn a blind eye. And then if you've got 10 people screaming up, then they'll say, oh, yes, well, I also knew he did that. You know, this is what he's done, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that there aren't any people opposed to this, but clearly there are people who would aid and abet someone who behaves like this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it also boils down to the whole myths and misconceptions around, and rather the taboos around reporting abuse, and saying, well, you know, it's a family matter, just keep it under wraps. We don't need people to know about it, and we need to change that ideology, you know. And it's easier said than done, because I mean, the last couple of months, unfortunately, I've been going that with an extended family member, where, you know, you discover that there's incest and rape within the family. And certain family members have been keeping it quiet for many years, and it's trying to change that ideology, saying, "Well, you're not doing justice to the child, or doing justice to the child's life by keeping this under wraps and keeping the child in the same room or house as the perpetrator." You know, and unfortunately, that stems across the world. It's not just a South Africa thing. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's a societal problem, and that is part of the reason why I do so much of this work. Is that we need to create this awareness and create the awareness that actually, no, covering up a rape or covering up somebody beating you or hurting you needs to stop and turn, and as I said, turn the ideology around.
I think that this is, it's just such an awful story. What would you like to see happen here? I mean, what would be ideal from the point of view of you and the other activists? Would you like to see?
You know, first and foremost is that, you know, that the identity of the child remains private, purely because of how the media can lash out on that and so forth. And that the family and the child get the necessary counseling. You know, counseling is incredibly, incredibly expensive if you don't have medical aid. There's so much that an NGO can do, you know. So definitely in terms of healing, we want healing for the family and for the child. And then justice to be served. You know, we need to change our laws in terms of how perpetrators are treated. And, you know, there's so many cases, as I said, when I worked with Childline, where All the evidence was there, DNA, everything, and then the guy gets off, like, with 5 months, 5 years, probation, that type of thing. And that those type of sentences aren't harsh enough for me.
Sure.
And it needs to be seen as a murder. It needs to be seen as serious as actually killing somebody, because you actually are killing their soul.
Wow.
And,
right.
You know, so that's what I would like to be seen. And then, as you said, the first question was that we need to raise the bar every time this happens, because the more people who raise the bar, it's going to get to a point where we're going to be smoking out the perpetrators, because they're not going to be able to rely on so many other people. You know, we're seeing this in a lot of the rape cases that are coming out within the TV and film industry, and I won't name names because a lot of the survivors haven't come out. But these guys have been getting, guys and girls, by the way, women have been getting away with it for many, many years because they've been protected. They know that, listen, okay, you bring this to the table, you're dealing with political parties, you're dealing with heavyweights within the industry who will muffle out the people who are going to be creating awareness. And so we need to just keep on raising this bar and demand demand action in terms of cases. And as I said, create the awareness outside the courthouses, on social media, the correct awareness. Just be vigilant about what's happening.
Right. I'm very pleased we got to speak to you this morning, and thank you for going to the courtroom yesterday and for representing so many of us. Keep an eye on this story for us, please, Rosie.
Sure, definitely will. Thanks, Gareth.
Thank Love to you. The team. Love to you too. Rosie Mordene outside the courtroom yesterday when the Strauss rapist was... I mean, this is such bad publicity for that restaurant. Shame. They had no idea. You imagine? I haven't really been, I don't think I've ever been in a Dross, but if I have, I certainly don't remember it as being an awful place. You imagine the marketing nightmare they've got now?
Oh yeah, because that was one of the first things that was raised as soon as the story came out, is how they're handling the situation, because they instantly just put a letter out, which was their statement, because how do you know?
But what is wrong with people that they don't see? I mean, clearly we know who the perpetrator is. We know who the victim is. We shouldn't be looking to find other people to blame. It's not the Dross's fault.
And but often, I mean, the guys who are writing these kind of things are also the kind of people who order the meat. I mean, you can't expect a whole bunch of understanding of our whole situation here.
No, that's also true. But I just think, I feel like people... people are just... They're looking for, you know, there's got to be some collective blame here. No, there isn't. This is one very dangerous man who did this to one very innocent young girl. He could have, and he was captured on camera. You know, there's not someone sitting there watching. You don't, in a restaurant, have the time or the budget to employ someone to just watch the cameras the whole time. Well, so they're people busy making food. They're people busy serving food. You're not watching everybody expecting something awful like this to happen. That's why it's such a unique situation.
It's a very good point, Gareth. It's a very dangerous man. So now people are saying, well, should the restaurant be liable for keeping children safe? If they're going to have a play area, they must have someone to look after the kids. But at what level? Like, you know, people are saying, well, how dare the mother let this child go to the toilet by herself?
See, they're trying to blame the mum. They're trying to blame the restaurant.
It's a very dangerous man who needs to be taken away from society, just like the Springs Monster. Who gets sentenced today, by the way?
No, the Springs Monster gets sentenced today.
Mm. You don't know the Springs Monster's name, of course, because they want to try, obviously, with identity with these things, because if you realize who the dad is, you might realize who the kids are, and the kids, obviously, the victims here.
That's right.
But he was found guilty of raping his children, attempted murder, defeating the ends of justice, obstructing justice. This guy doesn't care about justice. And lots of other child abuse and neglect. The wife also suffered the same fate. Just child abuse and neglect. So the kids, the three of them, they want to move on with their lives, obviously try to stay anonymous towards the whole thing. But the judge says that this sentencing will be lengthy because, as the state say, this guy will always be a psychopath. Of course, the defense, they've got nothing to go with, so they play the Jesus card.
And say,
well, the Springs Monster has since found the Lord while being incarcerated. Which is, I mean, what is that? It's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. So... Yeah, there should just be a special place for people like this. It's called a pit latrine. Sorry, they have no place in society. They have no respect for other people, and they have no place going forward for anybody.
Ankia says, I've heard that the Dross rapist has experienced quite a bit of justice already, butterscotch and such. Well, you know, Ankia, that stuff makes me very uncomfortable, because prisons are not meant to be places where other prisoners decide how you should be treated and where you get abused. A prison is bad enough without having to have that sort of thing going on, and it speaks more about the kind of society we're in, where people will, you know, rape a fellow prisoner. Those are exactly the same kind of people who would rape a child outside of prison. I don't necessarily like those people meting out justice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
I know we all want, everybody's just a reptile who wants retribution. I get that. Mm. Like, oh, got to get him back because of what he's done. But that's reptile. We've got to aim for something better if we want to fix society. And people like this are sick. They're sick. No healthy, sensible, sane person rapes another person, whether an adult or a child, and a particularly egregious thing when it happens to a child. To imagine that somehow you're bringing balance to the world by letting someone else rape them is sick as well. You need to examine that very carefully, that need for retribution. It is reptilian.
In the
and
case,
speaks very poorly of people who like to see that sort of corrective justice.
In the case of the Dross rape suspect, his team was actually saying yesterday in court that their client was assaulted by police at the Silverton police station.
See, again, as awful as what has happened is, until the guy is convicted by a court of law, any other kind of justice is not justice. It is the opposite of justice. If you want to call yourself civilized, that doesn't occur when you mete out justice. It's when you are absolutely convinced that someone is guilty of the charges that you have leveled at them, and you can prove it with evidence. You can't just make things up, and you also can't just take action. You're not empowered to do that. That's one of the few roles the state has, is to make sure that it is the monopolizer of violence. As awful as that sounds, that's what it is.
Mm.
And policemen, other prisoners, I hold no candle for this guy. He's a monster. But we cannot go around saying, well, if you're a monster, you can also get raped, because then what we're really saying is that we're party to that. We don't mind. Certain rape is okay. Rape's never okay.
ISS, because in the case of, you know, Bill Cosby as well, of all people, it was O.J. Simpson who was saying, Bill, all good and well, you're now in prison, but I'm just saying, from his own experience, that people in prison don't take lightly to people who are abusers.
That's, you know, probably why they're in prison.
And
with all the love in the world, that's probably why they're in prison. Because
so
they're
says,
the kind of people who think that it's appropriate to put your penis in places that no one's asked you to put them. And that is why prison populations are such a disaster from a psychological and a social context. And that's why you don't want to be in there.
Mm.
But it's certainly not right. And if you say, okay, well, you know, that's balanced. If you raped outside, you should get raped inside. I think that's vicious, cruel, and backward.
But yet slightly inevitable. Should we lighten the load a bit?
Please.
So Elton John, we all know he...
Ah, Elton John.
Is he a sir yet?
Sir Elton John.
Oh, he is a sir. Okay, he's knighted.
He's probably a dame as well. I mean, he's got the whole,
okay,
the whole thing.
He's
hung out with Lizzie for many, many reasons.
Yeah, he lives down the road from the Queen at Windsor Castle,
yeah,
actually. He's got a lovely house there. And
be what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
OBGNYMB, whatever.
He's got all of those.
DISCO.
OBGYN.
So his movie's coming out. There's going to be an actual Elton John movie called Rocket Man.
Huh.
Now, there's huge hype around Bohemian Rhapsody, which is obviously the Queen movie that's coming out later this year. So the same person who's directing that, is directing the Elton John movie.
Oh. Didn't we just talk about this the other day? We said it would be great to have a movie about Elton John because he's lived a life, right?
But the trailer seems somewhat, I don't know, uninspiring, slightly boring.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't jump out at me.
Here it is. This is Elton John's movie.
There are moments in a rock star's life that define who he is. Where there was darkness, there is now you. And it's going to be a wild ride.
All right, so
Elton obviously started off life with hair.
Yes.
And was he ever straight or was he gay off the bat?
I wouldn't say he was straight. He just kept it quiet.
Yeah, so
I read his autobiography.
So he's obviously got a life. So this is where you can chime in with more knowledge about this. He's obviously got a good life. But it's such a difficult thing. So he is producing the movie along with his partner, David Furnish.
Okay.
So obviously there's going to be a lot of input in there. But my only worry is that because he's in control of the project, he might
sanitize it.
Sanitize it a little bit, because at the end of the day, these guys are still looking to have reputations kept in check. Now, with the whole thing about Bohemian Rhapsody, of course, Freddie Mercury is dead, although Brian May will obviously sanitize that project to death. So will we ever get the full story out of this? Will we ever get to really grasp the debauchery of what life was like back in the days of the super rock stars or the super groups?
No, you see, and they're going to leave out the stuff we really want to know, like the parties that Elton was at, the kinds of things that went on. You know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Music was it was just this roller coaster ride. Everybody who was anybody was there. They were taking drugs. They were sleeping with each other. You could imagine the debauchery that was going on. And of course, Elton's not going to let us see all of that, because some of it, he doesn't want everybody to know. And just like Queen, they don't want to show Freddie as being this this incredibly like sex crazed,
he was
drug crazed,
what he was,
you know, rock god. But that's really the way we want to see them, because that's what their lives were. These incredible lives. The rest of us will never know what that's like.
But after reading Sir Elton's autobiography and then watching this trailer, there's a major disconnect, because with his autobiography, he laid it out. Like, he laid out his drug phase, how several friends tried to intervene and nothing ever happened. He laid out some of the parties. He was just being very honest. And now you see the trailer, it's kind of underwhelming. So I'm actually surprised by that.
The sort of handsome English gent who was in the movie Kingsman, he is Taron Egerton. He will play Elton John.
Oh.
But you just got to think, you know, in a time of Me Too and all the sanitation and people being so scared to offend, how raunchy or clear can these movies ever be?
Well, maybe we should watch it before we start worrying about judging.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's give it a chance.
So you've got that to look forward to if you're an Elton John fan.
I'm just crossing fingers for a Mick Jagger movie before he dies.
There probably will be. It looks
a
like
wild
this,
one.
This is a bit of a thing going on now. I love this. I want to see the Freddy one. I want to see this Rocket Man one. I want to see Mick Jagger if he makes one. Mm. I'll watch them all. Love
Who
it.
Else?
What about the movie of when John met Yoko?
No, not really.
I'm not really interested.
See, no one's queuing up to spend money on that one.
Is that in the pipeline?
Well, no, clearly.
No. Yeah, I was about to say.
If it includes Yoko's music, definitely not.
can you imagine it's a really great movie and then the credits come on and Yoko's got the soundtrack for the credits.
The whole soundtrack is Yoko.
Imagine how people will run out of there like their backs are on fire.
Oh my God.
Does she own Lennon's music?
No.
Does Sir Paul own it?
I think certainly the Beatles catalogue was eventually bought by the Michael Jackson estate. I don't know who has it now. It's interesting. That's a good question. I wonder who owns the... Maybe she does have John Lennon's stuff. She might actually own all of it. That's an interesting point.
Would you watch a Michael Jackson movie?
Sure. If they did a really good one, though. I mean...
But what else would we...
I don't want to see these soft... What are the... With that channel that you watch?
Lifetime.
Lifetime. Oh, I don't want to watch that. You know what I mean? I'm not interested in that stuff at all.
That's what I love. The messy, light-hearted situation.
No.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to watch that soft focus, soap opera style stuff. Must be, if they're going to do a Michael Jackson movie, it must be, you know, really, really raw. I want to see him in studio. I want to see him growing up. I want to see his dad ordering him around. I want to see him with his kids at the end of his life. I want to see that situation with Geordie Chandler. I want them to tell the truth there. I want to find out what kind of a life Michael Jackson had at Neverland, for example. You know, walking around with balloons and giraffes, and that's the kind. I mean, what a crazy guy.
And Macaulay Culkin should produce it.
Yeah. Yoko Ono can do that soundtrack too. Him well, there is an opera that they're doing with Yoko Ono. Have you heard about this?
Oh, really?
Yoko, the opera. I wanted to blow my brains out, declares the Wall Street Journal. Don't miss Yoko, the opera.
It's going to be amazing. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you better get those. And then for the kids, she's brought out a kids' album.
Oh,
so busy.
She's very busy.
So blessed.
Hey kids, it's time to hear your favorite songs, sung in a way that will give you nightmares forever. As KTEL presents Yoko Ono sings children's songs. Songs like Old MacDonald.
Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
The Wheels on the Bus.
Wheels on the Bus.
E-I-N-G-O. This special collection is not sold in stores, because seriously, who the fuck would buy it?
It's like her middle area is being attacked by a spade.
I'll tell you what, you want to punish the dross rapist? Just put this on repeat.
I need to get this for my niece. It will set her up for life.
Yeah.
Best way.
Oh, hey, I got some interesting news about podcasts for you. And by the way, the second episode of Decrypto is going to be played out live this morning at 8 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. We've had episode one featuring Simon Dingle, among others. And we've got a range of really, really smart people who could talk honestly and seriously and informatively about cryptocurrencies. For those people who are out of love with crypto, this might just put you back in that position. It's brought to you by Luno, and you don't want to miss the next episode featuring, among others, Run, who was a regular feature on our show when the price is going up and up and up. But we talked about that. We talked about price volatility. We talked about future outcomes and what might happen with blockchain technology. And you get all the definitions, and by the end of this, you'll know what you're talking about. It's brought to you by Luno, and you can find it on cliffcentral.com from 8 o'clock this morning, episode 2. And speaking of podcasts, the new Watch, Apple Watch iOS, has, among all of its features, podcasts straight off the watch. So now, if you don't have your phone with you, you can still play your podcasts off the watch. So let's say you're at home,
or brilliant.
Go for a run.
Absolutely brilliant.
Isn't that cool? So podcasts are coming to your watch.
Very nifty.
Isn't that great?
Speaking of high tech, I see you've gone for the Apple X there, Gareth.
When I had my phone stolen the other day, I had to get another phone. So I went for the Apple X, the Apple 10, the iPhone 10. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. It's something you've been waiting to get for so long. Look how you downplay all this shit. You really do talk a whole bunch of horseshit sometimes.
I haven't.
That phone, I'm not getting that. Oh, what a piece of crap. Look at all the hype.
Ben, did I get it until my phone was stolen? No. And I could have. Another year since they brought out the iPhone X, right?
Yeah, but you had the 8 Plus, which was one step down in hype.
Okay.
You're right up there, Gareth.
I didn't get the XS,
Ben. You're on the forefront of hype.
XSR, VC.
Who even knows what they call them?
DM, something.
Supreme Cliff.
Oh. I am an acolyte of Apple. I will buy all the Apple products.
It's amazing how your Apple Watch is actually saying this right now while you sit back in your chair.
You know what, Ben? I've got a song for you, actually, the way you're behaving this morning. You want to hear your song?
Yeah.
I try to live my life every day, keep out of strife, come what may. I try to do unto others as I'd have them do to me, but it can't be done for everyone, and now it's plain to see. You are a cunt.
All right, thank you, Ben.
What a sweet dedication.
Nice?
I can just feel the love in this room.
That's nice.
Do you want to hold hands?
I'll tell you what. Did you watch that Nando's ad? The one where they kind of rip into all the other ads because they said that all these ads have these people jumping around and paint being powder paint being splashed all over the screen. Everyone's trying to look cool.
Everything has tribal print now.
Graffiti, tribal print, tattoos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just best life personified.
Right. Great ad because it's taking the piss out of the complete creative bankruptcy of most advertising. And one of the stars of that ad is a guy who has had a long and colorful history here with CliffCentral.com. He was a co-host of the Casper radio show for a long time. We got to know him very well. We've interviewed him here on this show before, and I'd like you to put your hands together and welcome to the studio this morning, none other than Simba Gozo. Yes, welcome him back. Here he is.
Thank you for having me.
How you, dude?
I'm great, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, it's nice to see you, man. You've been busy.
Trying, yeah.
Look at you, advertising star. I mean, you were modeling long before. We kind of met you when you were already doing some modeling.
Yes.
But now you're doing them in TV ads. That's also not unusual. You've done those before, too.
Yes, that's true.
But it looks like there's a lot going on in your life. How are things?
Things are interesting.
We wanted to have you here in September because we wanted to talk about albinism.
Yes.
And it was Albinism Awareness Month in September.
Correct.
But then you got stuck in traffic that day and blah, blah, blah.
That was a horrible day.
Well, was Albinism Awareness Month a little bit better?
Yes, it was. I got a lot better. People are starting to understand. Well, you can see, you know, when you talk to people.
Yeah.
You're starting to understand what albinism is.
Well, I remember when we had you in the first time we spoke about this. You have albinism. You've got a lot of friends who also have it. It's a small community of people.
Correct. Well, you know what? I recently got a lot of friends with albinism. I grew up in communities when I was the only guy with it.
Where were you born again? Where did you grow up?
And then brought up in Limpopo. That's and right. Greater Gauteng, Swaziland as well.
And you were telling me the last time you were here about how it used to be a lot more vicious and cruel and, you know, it was a kind of blatant bigotry and discrimination. Correct. And then it obviously morphs into like much more subtle ways.
Yes.
Where you can tell people aren't sure how to react.
Correct.
There's a little bit of prejudice, but it's not mean. They just don't know what to do.
Well, you know, you get the odd ball, you know, the one that decides to be very vocal, you know, with his ignorant thoughts. But that's why I'm here.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
educate.
Sure. But is it getting any better?
Yes, it is way better. You know, in urban areas, it's way better. It's just the rural areas where it's still basically the same. So in the city and stuff, we're thriving. We're living our best lives. But our homies in the bush, they're struggling, man.
But they struggle with a lot of things yes. in the bush. Because, for example, I mean, there's superstition and there's religion.
Oh, it's crazy.
And a lot of the problems that people with albinism face in rural communities have to do with those superstitions.
Yes.
You know, these people are supremely religious in those areas. So they still believe in old and discredited things, sometimes very dangerous things like muti. And
yes.
And that's where a lot of people with albinism come up against the very ugly and harsh reality.
Exactly.
Of actually being like
ingredients
yes. in muti. I mean, it's yeah. just the most horrifying thing to think, but you know, we talk about cannibalism and we talk about people who murder and do outrageous things. But like the community of people with albinism, they've had to put up with this in a very real sense. Like people have had to run for their lives.
Exactly.
So people like, have had to try to escape.
I always tell people like what you wake up in fear is probably being late for work, you know, Wi-Fi not working. Someone out there is fearing for his life. Like, am I getting chopped up today Jesus. To become an ingredient? You know, I may not die, but I may lose a limb. And I'll just break it down this way and say, it's not what people believe, it's what they're being told to believe. So the issue isn't that people believe there's muti power in my body. It's the fact that the witch doctor, I say witch doctor because we have traditional healers who use herbs. And
you have sangomas and you've yeah, got umtagat.
Yeah.
Different
so
thing.
The witch doctor, he says, you know what, you want those millions, all right? I need an arm of someone with albinism. And then now, okay, you ask yourself, who goes out and murders the people?
Or chops off an arm. Yeah. I mean, for
well, they take the whole body because yes, they try to get as much as the people who are losing arms because they were fighting.
All right, so let's clear this up once and for all. Do you have magic powers?
Never. My wife thinks so.
Oh, well,
it only ends there in the bedroom. I mean, that's the only place it's been confirmed.
All right.
So, in short, no.
But it's the same as, you know, in some ways, these people in the Far East who believe that rhino horns are going to make them, like, really strong in bed.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it happens when you got a small member, you know, you're just trying to get that extra.
Trying to get some help. You think the rhino horn will help you.
Nah.
So, listen, when you do as much public advocacy as you do, and you've become like a major public figure, and I suppose you're one of the leaders in the community in terms of people with albinism speaking out, standing up for each other, having a very vocal and well-known opinion, and you could be relied upon.
I
see you all over social media making the right noises as well. Is that part of what needs to be done? And did you feel like you had to be responsible for so many people who don't have a voice?
So how I ended up doing it, I'm not the traditional activist. I'm not the traditional stand up, fight for rights. I do it through action. So I lead my life in a way where I basically try to debunk all the myths that have been created around albinism. And that's the way I do my activism. My activism isn't solely, I would say, concentrated on albinism, but diversity as a whole. So I believe that we're all one. I believe we're all just a box of Smarties, and we're just a bunch of different colors, but as soon as you eat any of the Smarties, we all taste the same. And that's what we are. We're just human, just coming in different shapes and sizes and colors. And to say I felt that I need to do it, yes. There are people who have albinism and people who come from backgrounds where their own family members are the reason why they feel shit about themselves.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to have a very supporting family, you know, extended family as well, friends. And truth has been spoken into me in the sense of you can do whatever you want to. Your skin doesn't basically define you. How you look, it's just how you look. And there are a lot of people who don't get that a lot. I mean, I've got a case where there was a lady with albinism in Zimbabwe, and her parents passed away, so she was orphaned, so she went to live with her father's brother, her uncle, and he was selling her for people to come sleep with her, because apparently there's another myth that if you sleep with a girl with albinism, your HIV and AIDS will be cured magically, and for other purposes. So obviously she perished, you know, she passed away from all the sicknesses and just the trauma. She was locked away in a room.
Oh my God.
So that's one case where, and this wasn't like an urban area.
Yo.
So things like that where tell the stories, because if you don't tell your story, no one knows. So there's one thing to march in the street and, you know, go with your placard and go to union buildings and say, hey, give us our rights. But it's another reason, it's another thing for someone to listen.
I wonder if it helps that there are, you know, ads, because obviously you look different, and then a lot of people find that very attractive.
Yes.
Which is good. I mean, you're a model. You often do fashion, you know, shows, and you'll do photo shoots, and you'll wear clothes and you know, all kinds of things that people would always use attractive people to do.
Yes.
So we're changing perception in that respect.
Yes.
But there are obviously some people who still don't know how to react when they see someone with albinism. It's like when someone sees someone in a wheelchair, they start talking really loud.
Yes, I know.
Like they're deaf as well.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen. And people don't know how to behave when a blind person walks in. They start whispering.
Yes.
It's weird, right?
Very weird.
And it's not a disability.
No, it's not. It's not even an ability.
It's not even in that category.
Well, it actually is. It's been classified. The vision part. So basically, for the eyesight, so you basically fall underneath visually impaired, you know, so you can qualify for a grant if you really want to go that way.
Have you asked for one?
No, not yet.
Not yet, so you're still waiting.
Right, let's go to Neil. Hey, Neil, what's up? Oh, okay, he's not there. We'll get to him just now. He's on the phone to Nola. So when you talk about the vision, just remind everybody, what happens is you've got extremely sensitive eyes, right?
Yes, to the sun. But it varies from every person. So I can't take a blanket approach to albinism.
Sure, not everybody's the same.
Same, yeah. Even the eyesight, you got guys that can see, like I can see pretty well compared to some of my friends.
Is it the brightness?
Yes, that's sensitive to the sun because there's no pigment in the eye.
Right.
And then now we have this thing called nystagmus, where you see my eyes moving the whole time like this.
Right.
They don't stay still.
Yeah.
But I see you straight.
Right.
It's just the muscle trying to keep, trying to focus.
Of course.
So it's difficult to get even prescription or something like that, because now usually with prescription glasses, there's a focal point that you keep looking through on the lens.
But your pupil's moving.
Yeah, the retina keeps moving, so it's kind of difficult. So laser's kind of out of the question as well.
Does that freak some people out? They think that you're shy to look at them, or what?
No. People are just like, your eyes keep moving. You know, some they think it's weird. Some people think it's cool.
Okay, Peter's on the line. Let's hear what he has to say. Hey, Peter, what's up? Hello. Oh, Jesus. All right, but he's there. He's not there. Peter, don't call again. Oh my God. He's there for a minute, and then we try to take his call. No. So tell me about what it's like doing an ad like this. It must be fun. It must be interesting.
It was really fun.
How long were you there for? How long's the shoot? What kind of things go into making an ad like this?
That was one of my second shortest shoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was about almost 12 hours.
Okay, that's a short shoot?
Yeah, I've done an 18-hour, 20-hour.
And you're expected to be awake the whole time?
Yes.
What was that for?
It was for Smirnoff.
Smirnoff?
Yeah.
And what did they want you to do? Was it a day-night thing? You had to do certain scenes in the daytime, others at night?
So it was all over Joburg. So it started off in Yeovil and ended up downtown.
Right.
So it was a night shot. A lot of walking. I walked 15 Ks, according to the Apple Watch. Jesus.
Sounds like a lot of work, man.
Yeah, people think it's set.
People think it's glamorous.
It is not glamorous at all. Craft food table.
You get catered to. You got someone massaging your feet.
It depends on who you are. You know, if you've got a good manager and they put that in. I've seen stuff like, someone's got their own separate room. You know, don't talk to him. You know, the big stars.
Does it pay well?
If you got a good manager, yes.
Okay, so again, some people have figured that out. They've got to have good representation.
And you need to know what the actual going rate is. So usually with anything else, everyone tries to lowball everyone. Everyone's trying to make money.
So
the first offer is always not the real offer.
How many people are you up against when they're looking for someone with albinism? I mean, do we have to send some of these people away so that you have more work?
No.
Is it just you?
I've fortunate for me, I've taken it very serious on set where some of the adverts I haven't casted for.
Oh.
I've been called. So I'm very professional. I'm always on time.
Right.
Except for your interview last week, sorry.
Well, that happens from time to time. So you're not competing with other people with albinism?
I don't think so. I don't like to say I'm competing because when I hear there's even a casting for people with albinism, I call other guys. And people are like, why would you do that? I'm like, he might get it, I might not. I might not be the guy. I might be too big for it or too small.
Right.
Or the wrong shape.
Well, that's nice of you because I would have thought like being...
Being
different, no, you got to take advantage, man. Own the market.
No, I still own it, whether I share or not. I just like to see how good they are. That's how I judge.
How's the family?
Oh, they're good. They're growing. My son has taken over my wife, so I'm single, ladies.
Yeah, because how old's your son now?
He's three.
He's 3 years old.
He's the boss.
Impossible to manage, huh?
No, no one can tell him what to do.
No one. He's your son too, which doesn't help because you don't exactly.
But he's worse. My mom's like, no, exactly the same like you were. I'm like, not a chance. This guy is like on another level.
Now, the other thing that people don't understand is that people with albinism don't always have children with albinism.
Ah, that's a big one. Thank you for
bringing
that
up. They don't get it. I mean, you know, let's just explain what it is to people. So it is a genetic thing where the pigment switch gets switched off. That's all.
That's all.
It's nothing. It's not a different person species. There's nothing that they didn't. Their mother didn't sin when they were, when they were made.
Or have an affair with the white man.
No, that was a big one for a while. Nothing to do with race.
Yeah, no.
Your race is your race, regardless. But your pigment gene gets switched off.
That's all.
You don't have enough melanin in the skin, right?
I like that you brought that up because that just came up on Sunday. I was doing a shoot like in Shovel and this girl came up to me. She's like, oh, I like you. You know, I want you to give me, you know, this is the incorrect way of saying it, a white albino baby. Yeah, then I'm like, okay, first of all, it's not an albino baby. It's a baby with albinism, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't be diabetes. You can't be cancer. So when you say albino, you're saying I'm a condition. I'm not. I'm a human. You're basically dehumanizing me.
Thanks for explaining that.
So I'm telling her it's not going to work because I'm showing her pictures of my kids, you know. They don't have albinism. She's like, no, you'll give me. I'm like, okay, but first of all, I don't want to give you one. So
it's hard. Life is a lot harder.
Can you calm down? But she thought her thought process that that's all we produce.
Yeah, but that's like people who, you know, they will want to have a child with somebody who's good looking, thinking their child would come out good looking. No. Sometimes a kid looks a monster.
Yeah, and then you gotta love it.
Look how cute Beyonce and Jay-Z's kid is. Look at Jay-Z.
Good point.
Yeah, very good point.
Good.
You know, cute kid. Father but, like Jay-Z, you'd never think.
Beyonce took a risk there.
Are there other famous people with albinism?
In South Africa, quite a few. You know, you've got our ladies who are doing very well. You've got Tando Hopper.
I've met Tando. She came in here once for an interview as well. She's great.
Very good friend of mine. Yeah. Got Rufilo as well.
They've done some really impressive,
amazing work,
modeling all over the world. Right?
I mean, Tando was the face of Audi for the Q2?
That's right.
Yeah, when it launched. I mean, she also on the Pirelli calendar
with Whoopi Goldberg.
First South African, I think, or African? Is it African or South African?
Well,
make that Pirelli calendar.
Mm.
That's very impressive. But Hollywood, we still don't have anyone with albinism.
No, I'm going there. I'm next.
You're ready to go and do it.
I'm way ready.
What's for you the hardest part about your life now, as opposed to when you were younger? Because you must have, when you were younger, had to struggle to deal with this. Even though you say you had a supportive family,
you kind of try to fit in and all the rest. Yes.
But now things are different. And you're a very confident guy. I mean, it's one of the reasons that I've always enjoyed talking to you, and that you've been so natural. Whether it's in front of the camera or behind the microphone, you've got an enormous amount of confidence. You still have some struggles, though, right?
Well, I wouldn't call them struggles anymore, because my life is the way the way I approach every day is way different from when I did when I was a child. Mm-hmm. I basically don't care what anyone thinks. So I've removed that whole thing of trying to fit in, trying to, you know, please everyone. As long as I'm happy, that's all that matters. So the struggles I had before, obviously, was trying to fit in. Mm. You know, trying to, for lack of a better word, not be normal. But what is normal?
Well, that's it. And you see people who are, in inverted commas, normal, who have massive self-confidence problems. Because they worry about what other people think.
Exactly. So once I removed all of that and started focusing on what I wanted, you know, broke down who Simba is when I started to live my life. You know, cut away all the rubbish, cut away all the keeping up with the Joneses nonsense. You know, just focus on you, do you, everything is better.
Do you think that there's something that's put in you when you're young, or do you think that's something you learn?
I think it was in me, but society, probably put some sand on it, you know, like buried it. And as when I got older, you know, took that gravel off and boom, there's the real Simba. Because I come from a very, confident family members.
Right.
All of us are quite confident.
I remember you telling me about there's a Gozo Island somewhere. In you tell people you're the king of Gozo Island?
Yeah, I do. Google it, there's an island
very
in the Mediterranean.
Very humble, I'd say you are. Yes. Very.
But you know, just like Lion King, I had a nasty uncle that chased me away, you know.
Like and Scar. Your name is Simba.
Yeah. That's why I've got an Uncle Scar there.
That's why he's not allowed to be in charge of the island anymore.
Yeah, I see. Uncle Scar, man.
Oh, but you'll get him eventually. That's how the movie goes. Well, it's always good to see you, my friend. Yeah. And congratulations on all your successes, because you are a shining example, whether you like it or not, to so many other people who have albinism and think that maybe there isn't hope for them. You've not only made yourself a life, but a great life. And, you know, you have a family, you have tremendous success. You're now all over our TV screens.
And your social media.
Give it a plug so people can follow you.
Oh, it's very simple. It's Simba Gozo, SimbaGozo, no underscore anything, just Simba Gozo. And also, I don't know if you don't know, I'm a motivational speaker as well.
Yes, I know that. People can book you to come and talk.
Oh, yes, please. Bookings are open, guys.
There we go. Get hold of him on social media.
Don't be shy with the rands. Forget that the petrol is 17 rand a litre. You know? Let me make you forget about it.
That's right. And Simba is obviously one of the people who's able to talk about some of these things, which I think we should be talking about more in South Africa, and we should be dealing with, because a lot of our attitudes about race, even though it's a totally different thing, are manifested in albinism, for example. And it reveals just how racist some people are, even though they don't know they're being
racist.
but they're also being anti-albinist, or they're bigoted, yeah, or they're ignorant in some way. They show off their racism because they think that the different rules that apply to people with albinism, no, treat them a little like they're not entirely, you know, human, of that race, of that species. It's ridiculous how people reveal themselves.
It's crazy, actually.
So if you want to hear some of those insights, then talk to Simba. But thanks for coming in to see us, man.
No, thank you for having me.
Always good. Simba Gozza, everybody. I want to get to some emails before we close it up. Ben, there was an email for you.
You should
be interested in this one. Can I address this?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Ben's never afraid, so let's look at this. First of all, let me just get to this one from Lauren. I started listening to the show a few months ago. Thank God I live in a game reserve, and I only get a signal for one radio station, and it's terrible. The type of station you often mention where everyone is constantly happy, and they now have decided to recycle that one song from 2 years ago that must be played during every show. It's currently Love on the Brain by Rihanna, but that's unimportant. I know you are a Family Guy fan. I am a super fan. Seth MacFarlane is the shit. Please do yourself a favor and watch the episode with Pete, season 16, episode 18. I know this will appeal to you. It's on point. People need to watch this. It's about millennials.
Oh, I've seen that about four times. I love that.
It's great, huh?
It's so funny.
Isn't it good? So that's definitely, I've seen that movie, that episode, and I'm very happy that you've pointed it out to other people who might not have seen it yet. But thank you, Lauren. Here's one from Mike. All right, Mike says, good morning. Firstly, he says as a disclaimer, I love Cliff Central. Second of all, I have some issues. Number one, weed. I've just finished listening to Experience Friday from last week. You guys owe me 2 hours, which I will never get back. Please have a good listen to the podcast when your head is clear. Where did you find those losers that you interviewed? They admitted they're all regular weed users but can't even string a sentence together. They bumble along and constantly lose their train of thought. They claim that they all have day jobs, but that's impossible. There's no way they could be productive in a work environment, as they claim. Maybe they work for the ANC in some parastatal. Packing weed into baggies is not a job. Then, sport. Ben, this is where it comes into you.
Okay.
I have a suggestion. Is there any way to change the sports segment to a golf podcast and possibly even give Ben his own one-hour segment and give us a proper sports section? Perhaps get Nolo or drag someone off the street just to read the sport headlines off of Sport 24 or the sport, the Super Sport website, which will give us a better view of what's happening. Not everyone, in bold, loves effing golf. Ben speaks with such passion about golf, going so far as to include the beauty of the course, even the players' wives. For the longest time, I have had an issue with the amount of golf news being given, and other sports are being totally ignored. If it doesn't appeal to Ben, he doesn't cover it. If the rest of us. So I decided to do an analysis of sport time allocation. For the week 25 to 28 September, and he's drawn a table, this guy. Ben, sport consisted more of golf than anything else, with Friday being the lowest time spoken at 2 minutes only because Ben was weed-whacked out of his mind. So then he breaks it down, Ben, into minutes and seconds and percentages of sport. And he says golf is completely overrepresented. Regards, Mike.
Sorry, just give me the week again that he analyzed that so expertly. That would be
Tuesday the 25th until Friday the 28th.
Okay, so that was the week where the most iconic person in all of sport, Tiger Woods, won for the first time in 5 years. Everyone was talking about that. That was the week of the Ryder Cup, one of the biggest events in all of sport. Everyone was talking about that. So Mike, I mean, it's not my fault you got shit for brains, really. But if you want to take it out and you want someone just to read you the headlines of Sport 24, then thank you for this email. You don't need me in your life, and I don't want to be in your life. You're the kind of guy that'll be offered a truffle, but sadly just settle for truffle butter. I mean, Go through your email before you send such things. I'm sure there's family out there you're embarrassing.
Fuck's sake. All right, here's the unnews. That's it for today. Melania Trump is in Africa and the trip's going well. Yesterday she had tea with Ghana's first lady, but she was sadly interrupted on a few occasions as Donald kept phoning her. He keeps checking that she isn't getting any diseases or being eaten by wild animals. You simply can't be too cautious when you're visiting a shithole. EFF is deeply hurt by DJ Sasha Martinengo's comments yesterday. With hurtful words tripping these revolutionary men up. It's a wonder how they deal with issues like the economy or tackling poverty, basic sanitation. If they were to lead the country one day, we'd be in trouble. And finally, Man United continued to anger their fans. Another disappointing result, this time in the Champions League. The pressure continues to mount on Jose Mourinho, who is really running out of excuses for the poor form of the club. Questioned in a corner last night, his only response was, "At least he never raped anyone in Vegas." What a thing to say. All right, that's all we got time for today. We'll catch you tomorrow between 6 and 9, and we've got the new episode of Decrypto coming up next. So if you're looking for some live, cool, excellent, interesting, exciting stuff, you've come to the right place. It's all coming your way next. CliffCentral.com. Thank you to Simba Gozo. You can find him on @SimbaGozo on all social media. Follow the guy. He's very interesting, leads a really incredible life, and has loads of interesting stories to tell. Also, if you want to know more, go to CliffCentral.com and download any of the series that we've been talking about over the last few weeks and let us know what you think. CliffCentral.com.